have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, making marriage meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast.
Press in to his presence. Press in Welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
And welcome, and welcome to Making Marriage. With me tonight, I am excited because I get ready to talk about something that I love almost as much as I love the Lord and His Word. I want to talk about marriage, relationship, and love, and all that mushy stuff. You know, I want to talk about it. I want to get downright up in it. I want to let somebody know a thing or two that I've learned. Now, let me just say this. I'm not a relationship expert. I share things based upon what I have experienced being in and out of marriage and relationship and things like that. I'm not ashamed to talk about it. Amen. I want to be as transparent as I can be. Amen. So that's why I say I'm not an expert, but I will share based upon what God has shared with me. Secondly, I want to make this other disclaimer. This podcast and this radio show is absolutely raw. It is absolutely raw. So you're going to hear some real talk, raw talk, like underneath the skin talk stuff. You know, it's real and it is relevant. You know, this ain't nothing fabricated. We ain't making up a scenario. This is stuff that we've dealt with, stuff we've been through, stuff we've endured, stuff we've conquered, stuff we've even failed at. This is what we want to talk about. Amen. And so I'm excited about it because I don't do it by myself. I have a panel of people who don't mind sharing with me. Amen. And we stick to the Word of God. And then we share reality. Amen. Because the key to understanding the Word of God is reality. All right. Having said that, let me see who's here with me tonight. Let me check and see if Sister G. Johnson is here, because she's got some stuff to talk about too. G. Johnson, you here? I don't hear her. Why? I don't know what happened, but I thought she would be here. But let's see. Is Dr. Kenny Robinson here? Are you here, Dr. Kenny? Some reason people ain't talking to me or something. I'm missing something tonight. I'm missing something. I called G. Johnson, no response. Dr. Kenny, no response. They left me hanging tonight. What? Brother Gabriel, Brother Otis and Sister Lady Otis Gabriel, are you here with me tonight? Well, my guess is just me and you all tonight, people. I don't know what has happened to everybody else. I'm certainly here looking for them, wondering what's going on. Listen, if Dr. Kimmy would unmute people, we could know who's here with us. Can you unmute them? Dr. Kimmy, can you unmute the others?
Praise the God. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Thank you
Hello.
So much.
This is G. Johnson. Yeah, I think everybody was muted. Praise God.
I'm calling folks and thinking I'm talking to myself, you know. So let's try this again. Brother Otis and Lady Otis Gabriel, are you with us?
Yes, we are. Hello? Hello, we're still here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Thank you so much. So glad to have you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see.
Right.
Let me try this again. Dr. Robinson, are you with us tonight? Okay, so she's not talking to me tonight. Okay. She done kicked me to the curb again. I just don't know. Praise the name of Jesus. I don't think Apostle Smith is here. Apostle Benson L. Smith, are you with us? I know that he was being awarded tonight as one of the pastors in his area who does great things in his community. And I'm almost certain that if he's not here, then certainly Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr. is not here either, because he had to host the Hollenbeck Awards. Amen. So we thank God for those who are here. Amen. We're going to still have a discussion, and we're going to go on in Jesus' name. All right? So let us pray. Father, we thank you, and we give you praise, honor, and glory tonight for your goodness and for your grace towards us. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you, Lord, that you've been better to us than we've been to ourselves, and we love you, and we glorify you, and we bless your name. We pray that, Father, you would just meet us tonight on this line as we should share concerning relationship and marriage and your word, oh God. And we pray that, Father, you would help us to, God, help those who may be struggling in their marriage, those who may be looking forward to better relationship experiences. And, Father, we thank you for empowering us to do that. Thank you for those who shall watch us, oh God, they are from social media. We thank you that you're blessing them and you're strengthening them now. In the matchless name of Jesus, we give you honor, we give you glory. We say, Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Let me read the scripture to you quickly out of Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, reading out of the Messenger Bible. It says, the serpent was clever, more clever than any wild animal God had made. He spoke to the woman. Do I understand that God told you not to eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, not at all. We should eat from the trees in the garden. It's only about the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, don't eat from it. Don't even touch it or you'll die. The serpent told the woman, you won't die. God knows that the moment you eat from that tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God, knowing, ranging all the way from good to evil. When the woman saw that the tree looked like good eating and realized what she would get out of it, she'd know everything. She took and ate the fruit and then gave some to her husband, and he ate. Immediately, the two of them did see what's really going on, saw themselves naked. They sewed fig leaves together, made as makeshift clothes for themselves. When they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden in the evening breeze, the man and his wife hid in the trees of the garden, hid from God. God called to the man, where are you? He said, I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid. God said, who told you that you were naked? Did you eat from that tree I told you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you gave me as a companion, she gave me fruit from the tree, and yes, I ate it. God said to the woman, what is this that you've done? The serpent seduced me, she said, and I ate. The word of God is blessed for his people already. We've been really talking about failure, conquering failure in marriage. So many things go wrong when I think about marriage. Sometimes my heart goes out to a lot of these couples because you have some people who really love people and then some people who don't know how to receive love from people. And so therefore, their marriages fail. I was talking with someone today that our community, the Afrocentric community, views marriage from a different perspective as opposed to people from foreign countries. People from foreign countries view marriage as a business arrangement. It's that simple. But we view marriage from the standpoint of love. That's all we're concerned about. If we love him and he loves her, that's all that matters. Love. That's all we're concerned about. Love. Nothing else. He loved me. She loved me. That's not how it is in other countries. It's a business arrangement. It's about making money for them. It's about accomplishing something for them. But the Afrocentric community, it's about love. That's why people get married. So people, their marriage fail because all they have is love. I know that you had one songwriter who said, all you need is love. Love is all you need. But I want to tell you, love don't pay the bills. I just want to be truthful. Love don't pay the bills. Love ain't going to feed you. Love ain't going to take care of you when you have medical issues. Love ain't going to get your hair done. Love ain't going to get your nails done. Love ain't going to get your feet done. Love ain't going to get you no clothes. Love ain't going to get you no shoes. Love ain't going to get you no Victoria's Secret. I don't care what you say. Love don't do it all. Love is, while it is a noun and it names a person, place, or a thing, it is really a feeling at the end of the day. And love is not what it says. Love is only what it does. Oh, so I want to help somebody to understand that a lot of marriages fail because people think all they need is love. All right, so when we talk about conquering failure in marriage, we talk about outside influences. We talked about developing new relationships when you get married and rekindling old relationships when you get married. We talked about affairs and one-night stands. We talked about internal disconnect, being untrustworthy, lack of intimacy, fault-finding, sexual dissatisfaction, expecting spouse to promote happiness. These are the things that we've been dealing with, but now we've been talking about manipulation factor in marriage, the manipulation factor, that is blaming others, blaming others. There is nothing worse in marriage than blaming somebody else for somebody's shortcomings, for somebody's mess-ups, for somebody's wrongs, for somebody's infidelities, for somebody's whatever. And please hear me, that infidelity is not just stepping out on somebody physically, sexually, but infidelity can be, a cyber. Infidelity could be emotional. Infidelity can be financial. There's different types of infidelity if we really want to be truthful, okay? But to manipulate by blaming, that is not a good thing. And we talked about the blame game, if you will, on last week, why people make excuses as to why they do what they do. And at the end of the day, listen, if you're going to be with somebody because you say you love them, then one thing love does not do, I don't care what nobody says, love does not hurt. Am I talking right, Brother Otis? Does love hurt? Help me here.
If you love someone, I was listening to you describe that love. There are many things it does not do, but there are so many wonderful things that it does. And in the right combination of entities, that love would be one of the most important elements there. And if you love someone, you want that person to be happy. You love that person as much and many times or more than you love yourself. It's a different type of love and involvement that is for children. But now tonight for our wives and our mates in our lives, if we love them, we want them to be comfortable. We want them to be happy. We want them to be smiling and laughing. Now, when we say something or do something, or even make innuendos about something that cause them not to smile and to be happy, then that is not love. Sometimes we just hear the people tease their object of their affections quite frequently. And I've heard people been in their presence, people talking to one another and teasing in such a way that I would never, ever, it had to be under some grave circumstances that I would say something like that to my wife. And they just do it routinely, and they say, oh, I was just teasing. And it's really not teasing. It's really kind of hurtful to a person. And that teasing is often just a cover-up for saying something to a person that you really would like to say in a more serious conversational environment, but you kind of sprinkle it into a teasing form, but it's the same words. And if you write those words down instead of listening to the tone in which they were spoken, then a person would see how they could hurt. But the answer to your question is if you love someone, you would not want to hurt that person or see them hurt. You will try to keep them from having any type of pain instead of you being the source of their pain.
Okay. Amen. Sister G. Johnson, what do you think about that? Does love hurt? Is love supposed to hurt?
Supposed to hurt. That's a real interesting question. I think in any case where you love someone, there is going to be some love, hurt, or what have you involved, because we live in a real world, and everything is not going to be peachy and cream, you know. And if I could touch base on what you said about this country and other countries and what they marry for, I just want to touch bases on that, because back in the day, when my grandmother then was coming up, people had shotgun weddings. They didn't necessarily, they were living in America, but they may not have necessarily married for love. They married because you got my daughter pregnant, or you got, whatever case, they married because the parents were going to make them get married, whether those two loved each other or not. Now, also in foreign countries, they have arranged marriages, like when the thing coming to America. Now, Eddie Murphy was going to marry the young lady that they had arranged. Now, not necessarily that he loved her or she loved her, but it was arranged. So, you know, as you say today, in the African community, that, you know, people marry for love. And I disagree with that a little bit too, because a lot of times it's not all based on love. It's based on, you know, sometimes it's based on money. Sometimes it's based on other things too. And it could be a combination with love, money, and all these other things, a business deal for comfort. This person is, you know, I'm homeless, so I'm marrying this person. One of my bosses married somebody because they needed a green card. So, you know, there's so many, you know, reasons why people marry. But as far as back to the question about does love hurt, I believe sometimes it does. That's just my opinion.
You believe?
I would like to comment on.
Go ahead.
Yes, I like what you said about the combination. And that is right. Just because people get married, and we have to understand and accept the fact that we have likes and dislikes, and there are certain things that appeal to us and do not appeal. But if you would ask 10 couples to write down, 10 married couples to write down on a card why they got married, you would definitely get 10 different answers. And, you know, I love the person would probably be somewhere thrown in there. But if you would get deeper into the person's psyche or into the real meaning and real justification, they got married, you would see different answers. So, yes, there's a lot of reasons why people get married. And if in those reasons, you should see the term "because I love him and he loves me," then that would be something that would be like icing on the cake. So I like that with the combination of reasons why a person would get married.
I have one here on Facebook. She says her aunt was involved in a shotgun wedding. It happened in one day. So a shotgun wedding is when you are forced to get married. Am I correct?
I think so.
So for instance, so a shotgun wedding would be the equivalent of somebody got pregnant, so they better get married in order to maintain their integrity. Is that what a shotgun wedding would be?
I believe so. I'm not 100% certain on that, but.
Yes, I would
like
to say that. Yes, mm-hmm. You're right. In the South, when you said a shotgun wedding, somebody is pregnant, and then the father one with the shotgun and say, listen, if my daughter was good enough, you know, for you to be that intimate with her, and, you know, and you must have convinced her somehow that, you know, that you cared for her and enough that she would submit herself to you and become pregnant, well, then you two needs to be married. Otherwise, you shouldn't have been being that intimate in the first place. And if you are, if you do that, and they can do that, most of them were done right there in the home. They used to bring the preacher over to them, and they got married. And many of them, you know, stayed married. As a matter of fact, the marriages lasted just as long or longer than they do right now.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, that's interesting because I was sharing that when my sister, as a teen, and she was in her late teens, when she got pregnant, my mama told her, we were on our way to a revival that night. My mama told her, said, you show up here tonight with a man and with a marriage license, or you cannot live in this house. That's how strict my mama was. So that very night, my sister had to go live with cousin auntie. Auntie cousin, however you want to call it. Because that was just their mindset, their upbringing. So again, a lot of marriages fail because principles, if you will, are abandoned. But the biggest thing is, or the worst thing, should I say, is to blame somebody in a marriage because it failed. We often want to put it all on one individual. And the worst part is we want to put it the individual that's not ourselves. Let's just be truthful. Let's be truthful, okay? Marriages fail because two people didn't do their part completely. First thing is I cannot stand the individual who says, you got to bring 50 and I bring 50, and that is how we do the marriage. No, no. If you don't give all of you and she don't give all of her, then you don't have nothing because you don't stand at the altar and the minister say, do you take half of her to be your lawfully wedded wife? Do you take half of him to be your lawfully wedded husband? It says, do you take him? That is the entire. Do you take her? That is the entire. And so to offer half of yourself is a problem. So you need to tell me you're going to give me half of your time. You're going to give me half of your talent. You're going to give me half of your treasure. And then but you want all of my money, all of my manhood, all of my whatever, for real? No, we can't do no unbalanced stuff. We can't do no unbalanced stuff. But all of these things play a key role in causing marriages to fail. And so what do? We blame folks. So you find out, let's go this direction. Now, Brother David, this is going to be hard for you because you've been married over 30-something years. So this is going to be hard for you. But I want to talk about the person who got divorced, all right? When they got divorced, what they say is, my spouse didn't. My spouse didn't. My spouse didn't. She didn't do this. She wouldn't do that. She didn't do this. She wouldn't do that. Okay, what did you not do? Oh, boy. See, that becomes an issue. Watch this. Watch this. Because notice again, here's what happens. Here's what happens. God asks Adam, where are you? Adam says, I heard your voice. And so I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid myself. And notice the first thing. God says, who told you that you were naked? Did you eat of the fruit that I told you? Did you eat the tree that I told you not to eat from? And he said, the woman you gave me, she gave me the fruit, and I ate. Yeah. I'm going to accept what I did after I tell you what somebody else did. Come on. You know that's what people do. What they do is they want to throw the rock first and play victim. Here's manipulation. When you play victim, Manipulation is when you try to act like you were framed and you are innocent and you had nothing to do with the downfall of the marriage. That is manipulation. When you try to act like everybody else is at fault but you. Talk to me, Sister G. Johnson. What do you think about that?
Well, the fact of the matter is you know, you have to, everybody has to give an account to what they did. When I counseled years ago in Charlotte, North Carolina, one of the things that the pastor said was that first you have to look at yourself. You have to do inventory on yourself, not pointing out what the other did, but first take inventory of how you contributed to the situation. So, you know, if we look at that when we go to counseling, not just pointing our fingers to the other person, we have to look at, okay, well, how did we respond? How did we, you know, we all think that we're all innocent, you know, but mm-hmm. if you really do what the pastor or whoever the person is, you know, the professional or whoever it is that's taking you through that session, you do have to take inventory of yourself, because we can go around blaming this one, blaming that one, but sometimes we got to say, well, what is it that I'm doing? You know, take the pride mm-hmm. off, put it on the floor. Okay, well, what could I have done? It's just like when a basketball team loses a game. What could we have done to, you know, to gotten X amount of points or this one or whatever, you know? So that's my stance.
You know that, and I like how you said that. You have to look at yourself first. That's it. You got to look at yourself first. What part did I play in it? People are getting divorced now because of something called irreconcilable differences. Irreconcilable differences is simply saying it's not your fault, it's not my fault, we just don't get along. Because nobody wants to take blame. So it becomes, if you will, a no-fault dissolution of marriage. But at the end of the day, here's the reality. If you didn't hold up your end of the vow, then you are just as guilty as the person who tried to. Even if they didn't dot every I and cross every T, if you stop trying, if you stop working towards being better, making things better, then you are at fault. But to manipulate another individual and try to put all the blame on them, I want you to know that God is not pleased. And so I'm looking at Adam. He's placing the blame on the woman. A lot of times we'll go to a barbershop, and that's the conversation. If it wasn't for the woman, man would have never messed up, right? But then it asks the question, what kind of power does she have over him? Because if somebody can get you to do something that you know you're not supposed to do, that's manipulation.
Can I add to that? Okay.
Yeah.
It just came in my spirit that I think as couples who are headed for a divorce, I think we don't exercise patience enough. You know, nobody Ooh. Ever said that it was not going to be peachy, you know, that it was all days was going to be rosy. But, you know, there are going to be times when you're going to have disagreements. So do we just throw every time there's a disagreement, we just run for the hills and say, oh, I want a divorce? You know, if you don't have patience, if you see that person don't have patience when you're dating them, you know, you're headed for disaster, because the first little trial that comes along, they're giving up. So, you know, are we exercising patience today? And that could be a big factor in some of divorce cases. Somebody do something wrong. Oh, I'm ready, you know. Well, I can't work with you on that. You know, but that's what marriage is about, working it out. Working out, ironing through it. And my thing is, if we're dating, I need to see how you iron out problems. I need to see your frustration. I need to see if you just throw in the towel. Because if you're doing that while we're dating, you're certainly going to do it, and which ends up in divorce, which means I don't want to deal with this. So if you go into a marriage unrealistically thinking that everything is going to be peaches and roses and you don't have enough patience to wait it out, to talk it out, or to say, well, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. So with communication, there's nothing. That's what I want to say.
Amen. And I believe that it's important to work it out. The only thing I don't agree with is that the thing called dating, because at the end of the day, dating is no different than trying on a pair of shoes. Because if you don't like it, what you going to do? You're going to trade it in for another, for something else. And that's the thing that people don't understand about dating. That's why courting for the people of God is so important. Now, granted, people of the world don't court. They date. But again, all they're doing is they're practicing to see how it goes. And if it don't work right, then they have a problem, and they're going to trade in for something else. The only problem with dating is you're wasting your time because, you know, good and well, and let's be truthful. Most people who are dating, they're not dating considering getting married. Most people who are dating, they're dating with the expectation of mating. Let's tell the truth. Let's tell the truth.
Can I interrupt? Okay, well, Christians, how do they meet? They just say, oh, I like you, let's get married. They have to go through a course of dating. And when I say dating, meaning going out to dinner, finding out about each other, going here, going there. That's what I mean by that. I don't know what your understanding of dating is, but that's what I mean is getting to know that person. Because I don't know personally of two Christians that saw each other, liked each other, and said we get married tomorrow.
Again, so let me make sure that you understand that dating, and this is something that maybe you weren't here when I began talking about these things, but there's a difference between dating and courtship. Let me give you a refresher, okay? Dating is random, while courtship is deliberate. The goal of dating is romance. The goal of courtship is marriage. Dating is unprotected. There's no guarantees. Courtship is protected. See, dating is always in an unnatural setting of perpetual recreation or recreation. But courtship is a natural setting of real life and family. That's what you were talking about, how to handle real-life issues. You don't find that in dating. See, dating is really practicing for divorce. Courtship is training for marriage. But because the prevailing thought has been dating, that's why people have gotten divorced more, because they were only training, they were only practicing for when things go wrong. Because notice, when you're dating, you break up, you make up. You break up, you make up. And then before you know it, you break up completely for good. But in courtship, you learn how to deal with the challenges. You learn how to deal with the changes. You learn strategies to become better and more effective so that your relationship, your marriage, is more life-lasting. Nobody, let me tell you something. People get tired of going through learning somebody, getting connected to somebody, getting close to somebody. Then all of a sudden things go wrong and they got to start all over again. And then they learn somebody, they get close to somebody, they connect with somebody and things go wrong. They got to start. People get tired of wasting their life. People get tired of exposing themselves to people. People get tired of going through those things. Why? Because all they did was dated. They never courted. I'm showing you something because there are issues that have existed, especially within the Afrocentric community, because, again, many times the Afrocentric community community, they marry for a thing called love. But how can they marry for love when they really don't understand love? Because most people think that love is getting my way. As long as I get my way, okay, we can be married. So as long as you do what I want you to do, when I want you to do it, how I want you to do it, well, we fine. But if you don't do what I want you to do, when I want you to do, how I want you to do, then we can't be together. See, some people think that love has to prove itself. Why does love have to prove itself? Love is what it is. Love is what it does. Love don't need no proof, because love is going to show you either it's going to do or it's not going to be. See, people don't want to talk about real stuff like that. That's why I'm here, because if we don't deal with these things, people are going to continue to go through the wrong path, having the wrong state of mind, doing the wrong thing. And then they're going to wonder why they end up in divorce court. We're trying to prevent hope from going to divorce court. But the only way we can prevent it is if we teach them what is right, because they've seen everything that's wrong. Let's tell the truth. Our parents, you know, many of us, I can't say everybody, but many of us, we saw our parents, right, when they went out in public, they looked like the perfect couple. But when they were behind closed doors, she slept in one room, he slept in the other room. Come on. That's not a healthy marriage. They might not fight in front of the children, but they would be fighting, and sometimes it would spill over, and the children would hear it. That's not healthy. But these
can
are
I add to that?
That
can I add to that?
Come on.
Okay, so if a man comes up to you and say, okay, I want to court you, then that's a different story. So if one man comes up to you and say, I want to date you, then you say, no, I don't want to date because all you want to do is do such and such. So if another man comes and say, I want to court you, then that means, oh, he's looking for marriage. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay,
that's
so
exactly
if he used the word court, if he used the word courting, then he's hit the mark. But if he used the wrong word, dating, then the mark is not there.
Yes, because
I'm
you have
saying.
To understand. You have to understand. Here's the reason. Again, here's the reason why. Here's the reason why. If you understand the difference between dating and courting, then you would understand why I say the person who comes around and says, I would like to court you. That is a person who has a fixed mindset that this is the only person I'm interested in, and I'm going to do everything possible to make this work. The person who says, I want to date you, what I'm saying is, I want to get with you as long as things work. If it don't work, I'll trade you in for another.
Well, what
That's
if they
reality.
Don't know the difference between the two? What if they don't know what you're telling us now? The difference in between the two, but they may not be wording it right.
Well, see, well, here's the reality then. If they don't know the difference between the two, then they won't know how to approach what they face. But the person who doesn't know the wording but knows the actual action will do it in their action. Because, again, love is not what it says. Love is what it does. And so a person, listen, there are some people who believe in such thing called at love at first sight. The person who literally believes in that, from the get-go, their mindset is, I'm going to make this individual my wife, I'm going to make this individual my husband, and I'm going to do everything necessary to make sure that I don't mess this up, because I don't know what my future holds, but I know my future won't be great if they're not included. Woo! Boy, if I was trying to pick up somebody right there, I just would have done it. Hallelujah. But I want you to understand where I'm coming from.
Well, I'd like to know if this is the way I look at it. It
yes,
seems
ma'am.
Like dating can turn into a courtship, because you go out on an initial date, and that could be dinner, a movie, a dance, or whatever, and you kind of learn each other, and then that turns into a courtship, you know, because
That's
they ask you out on a date. They don't ask you out on a courtship. I think it's just
nope.
a play on words, but it seems like a date is the initial contact, and as your feelings and interest and, you know, caring for each other, that would turn into a courtship.
I agree.
Now, Once again, I want to make sure that you don't miss this. A date is random. A courtship is deliberate. So what I'm saying is, and a lot of things, if we can go this way, a lot of things you can determine where your heart is because you've been praying. So let me see if I say it this way. Okay, let me see if I can do it this way. I'm a single person, but I've been in prayer and I've been seeking the face of God. Lord, I need a good wife. I need a woman who is compatible. I need one who is suitable, one who is adaptable to me, one that will help me, right? And so all of a sudden, the Lord puts, for instance, let's just use for an example, the Lord puts Halle Berry in my spirit. Lord, that's mission, big mission. But imagine, the Lord puts her in my spirit, okay? And so I'm trying to shake it, and I'm still praying. And the more I'm praying, the stronger it is that she's in my spirit. So now what I'm doing is I'm studying her. I'm watching her. So when I make initial contact with her, right, my initial contact is not just I'd like to go to a dinner and a movie. No, initial contact is, Helen, you've been in my spirit for some time and I've been praying. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Now, I'd release that. So now she has to determine, do she want to accept that offer? So if
and
she
you
want to accept that offer.
On a date,
wow.
You know. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. You have to see which way she's going.
It becomes deliberate, not random. So here's what I'm saying. So, you know, I could be at a bar, I could be at a club, and there could be six girls at the bar, right? And I could offer to buy them all a drink. But chances are, only one of them going to really be interested. So then what I'm doing is I'm settling for what's left over. It might be the ugliest one there. She might be the ghetto twin, Ugg and Lee. She might, her teeth might be crooked, her eyes might be crossed, her back might be flat, her chest might be fluffy, and her stomach might be worse. But because she's the last one, I'll go out with you. Then all of a sudden, what do I have? I have someone who is at random because it wasn't deliberate. That's all. My brother is here. Lord Jesus, Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, welcome, sir. Come on, I think you've been following where we are. Come on, what do you have to say? Is he unmuted? Dr. Kimmy, can you unmute Bishop-elect, please? Okay, until he gets unmuted. These are things that we have to really consider. And Lady Gabriel, I understand where you're coming from, but it's not a play on words. There's a difference between what it is to date and what it is to court.
Remember I told you that I would always suggest a new couple to get to know each other over a period of a year so you can find out what, you know, you enjoy doing together, what your ambitions and goals and family and friends are like. And, you know, I still have to say that it initially starts out with arranging to meet each other on a date. And then if it's something that's worth pursuing or investing your time and you feel like your life in, then you turn it into a courtship because you're looking to have something more permanent with this person.
Right, right, to go further. And just to add on that, I don't know many, like Apostle Whitlow was saying, he's telling the lady that she's been in his spirit, and so I like to spend the rest of my life. That's very unlikely. You know, it may happen, but to tell someone and suddenly you say, hey, I've seen you over there, and you've been in my spirit, and would you spend the rest of your life with? How often does that happen without at least going out on a date to have dinner, or however you want to word it, going out to eat, or going out on a courtship date, or however you want to say it, you know, you still, in this day and time, people want to know, get to know you before they go and jump a broom, do whatever. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, in like these other countries, it's arranged, okay? But in this country, there's not, there are no arranged marriages. I mean, I don't know unless they're still doing it. And so, but again, people get to meet. And whatever, however you want to call that, a date, a court date or whatever, they have to get to know each other. I don't know many people that just don't know each other and just say, hey, I want to marry you. I see you. I like you. That's it. Okay. That's all I got to say.
I hear you.
I am Billy
Gates. But I want you to hear again what I'm saying. This is a person who is praying on this wise. They are praying. So with them praying on this wise, their mindset now is not, let me see, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. They've got one focus because they've been praying. They've got one focus because they've been seeking the face of God. So it's one individual that's in their heart, one individual that's in their spirit. That's the only one. And so that's the one that they want to make their life with. Now, granted, I didn't say that you're going to see it because I didn't say it was likely to happen just like that. I'm saying this is just the difference between a person who is seeking to date at random and someone who is deliberate for a courtship because they're looking for marriage. Everybody dating is not looking for marriage. People,
well, did you meet this person before? Did you know this person before?
What the person you're praying for?
Yeah.
The person that comes in your mouth after praying?
Yeah, the one that you
may know this person?
God said that's the one. Did you know this person before, or are you getting to, you want to know them?
I used Halle Berry. If I knew Halle Berry, and I told her that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her, and she agreed, and we started courting and became deliberate about our relationship, and we became married, she would be on this thing with me if I knew Halle Berry. But what I'm saying, and is what I'm showing you again, is an individual who their mindset, they are deliberate about wanting to be married, so they are deliberate about not wanting to just connect with this one and that one, because it's not a thing about sex for them. It's not a thing about just going to the movies. This is an individual who's thinking about my future, my life, my destiny, and how this person can add to my purpose, how this person can add to my livelihood, how this person can make me feel alive, how this person can cause me to be the best that I can be, because they see the best in me even when I don't see it in myself. This is what I'm talking about, because you've been praying, and so here it is. God has put this individual into your spirit. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, now, hey, I've been trying to come in for quite a while. I am Reverend Billy.
Yes,
I've been left off the list for quite a while. I have written down some of the areas, and I've been trying to interrupt you, but not really. I have taken notes about love, hurt, divorce. I'm a divorcee, shotgun, weddings, courting. Now that we're on the area of courting, in my opinion, courting and dating are synonymous. I have reason to believe they are very, the dating and the courting, as we call it, are the very same thing as has been expressed by the two women, Teresa and you get to know one another. I it is very, very, very almost impossible to just see someone and you say that is the moment I'm going to marry, and then you get married within days or weeks. Now, as far as the love hurt, yes, love hurts, and it also, just the word love itself, it expresses warmth, good feelings, and there are often times where love hurts, especially if one other person is not doing the thing he needs to be or she is doing with the other person. And he or she will love this person so much where they are willing to take the abuse and hope with hopes for change or things of that nature. And I can say that
for me, my for personal experience, I know that my wife loved me. However, the things that I was doing, saying that I loved her, the things at my actions, and the things I did behind her back did not express the real love that I thought I had for her. But at the same time, she's at home waiting for me to come home late at night or whatever the case might be, and her love for me allowed her to stay there for until such time we'll say enough is enough. And even when she left me, I have reason to believe that she loved me because we remained good friends thereafter. And that's why I'm trying to hurt. She loved me so much that she decided to let me go to do what the heck I was doing out there. The shotgun wedding, that was being very much expressed. Now, the compatible sheet, I remember when you, I think someone had mentioned, if you just write down on a pad or a notebook what you love and what you, your differences, you will find that when you take the two sheets, this is in premarital counseling, by the way, you have this little paper where you ask, you give the bride to be and the groom that we have these various questions, and you will answer those questions. So when you compare them, you'll find them so much so you try to put two left shoes together. Incompatible, totally incompatible, because they did not take time to court date, as we whatever you want to call it, to learn the very important things about one another. How many children do you want? Do you want to have children? Do you want to have a home? Do you, all these various questions that make up a family and love of marriage. And now, let me just bring this up. Those of you who have performed weddings, when you get the marriage license and you have this form where the preacher, the clergy, sign that paper, the marriage, making it official. If you just take time, if you haven't noticed it, I can tell you. I know here in D.C. and Virginia, it's on that license. On that form that the bride and the groom signed, they have 7 days in order to turn that form back into the courthouse or wherever it is they have this recorded. If they do not turn that in during that time, then of course that marriage is not a marriage.
That's correct.
And I'm saying that primarily. Just say this fellow decided to marry this girl he saw last week or last month. He decided to get married to her. He have 7 days for his feet to warm up in case he got cold feet. If he does not turn that form in, that was just a practice run for a future time. And that is a fact. And going to that courtship thing, now, it's just like you examine yourself. That's not just examine yourself, and as you examine that man or that woman that you think you want to marry. This stuff sounds like me. It sounds like a fairy tale where now you can see this woman or this man, and now I'm going to marry. But I have experience. I have two friends who did just that primarily, but it took time. When we was up in on the Army base, just girls walked by us while we were walking on the bench, and he saw her and he said, "Oh my goodness, I want to meet that woman. I think I would have to have for my wife." But it took him almost a year to make that happen, and then as for courting and dating, you are not, especially when you're dating, you are not going to do anything except unless it's real to upset that woman or that man, because you are going to show your best foot, your very best behavior all the time, during the whole course. Now, and all too often, depending on his ulterior motive, and all too often when we get married, and you get very comfortable, very, very comfortable, and you're taking her or him for granted, and you feel that you can do all the things that you really, when they first show you who you are, that's believing. And all, but once we get very comfortable, we find that we lose just a little respect. Take it too much for granted that everything is all right. But when she tells you or shows the area that she's not pleased with, and you continue to do it, that is not love. I call that disrespect. But it's just a whole.
Exactly.
You got to get to know who you're doing. Now, I remember saying this. I have performed a wedding. I might have mentioned sometime before on another line. This young lady fell in love she's encouraged to marry this African fellow. I told them, I asked them to let me have a little premarital counseling. And this is something you guys had said a little earlier. Ram Gabriel, we don't need that because he loved me. He said he loved me and I love him. Now, and I'm telling you, I did the wedding because they did not want to do it. I married them up in on Beach Drive up in D.C., another park up there out in the woods. But within a couple months, she came to me and let me know that she wanted out of that marriage because that was just something he wanted to do is get that green card. But he expressed all kind of love, all kind of everything. He whispered sweet things, sweet nothings in her ears that she had not heard from the American guys, and she, quote, as she called, fell in love. Now, love hurts, and that's, but it's just so many things. Now, I am a divorcee. My wife got a U-Haul, and she went to New York as a result of the things that I have done, that I did. She had taken enough of my improprieties and all that stuff that she decided, this is enough. And I tried hard, and hard. I begged for her to stay. But it was almost like Humpty Dumpty that fell on the wall. And all the things that I had done, and she let it go for as long as she did. And that was it. And there's not a day that the good Lord sends that I do not think about the things I've done, and I have begged by spirit of God to forgive me for the things that I did to wreck that. But going back to the whole thing, yes, love hurts. Yes, it does. And we have to be very careful. We have to have a lot of time. I say a lot of times to get a time, rather, to get to know that person before you let the clergyman say, I pronounce you man and wife. I think it's a mandate that you take. What's that little song O.C. Smith used to say? I think, well, take time to know her. Take time to know her.
I don't think there is anything in Scripture that will show us that love hurts. Everything Scripture tells us about love is how it handles itself, how it is kind and it is long-suffering and it is giving and it doesn't hold a record of wrong and it is always, it bears all things, believes all things, endures all things, hopes all things, but it never fails. There is nothing that will show us that love hurts. That's one. Two, again, you can date a different person every night and not have any interest in them. Because let's tell the truth. When you're dating, you're really just looking for some company just to do something with, hoping to get lucky. Let's be truthful. So again, it's not a play on words. It's the difference in the concept. Okay? It's a difference in the concept. So when you are deliberate about somebody, right, you are really thinking, I want to be with this person for the rest of my life, not just for a few days to get what is going to make me feel good for the moment. And again, this has become an issue for so long because all we have been taught is date, date, date. I believe this thoroughly, and I know, sir, that you have me by a few days. Some of you do. But I've learned this. Many of the things that we learned coming up was wrong. Many of the teachings we received was wrong because our parents did not know what to learn. So they went along with whatever came, and that's how they made it. They went along to get along. We are not in the age where we go along to get along. We are in the age where we have to learn what to know so that we make the most authentic, reasonable choice for our life that we are benefited, and we don't end up in a crazy house, or we don't end up in somebody's prison, or we don't end up in somebody's grave because of what society has said as opposed to what God really wants us to know. Again, if we go back to the second chapter, here's what God said. It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make and help meet for him. When he met his bride, he didn't say, let's date. He was deliberate. He said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken from a man. And then the Lord said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife. Not because they're going to date each other, but because they are deliberate in the kingdom, because the kingdom has a court. So when we come to the court of God, we operate with deliberate intentions, not random expectations. Let me see. Bishop-elect, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I'm talking about Bishop-elect. Bishop-elect Richard. Okay, so he's still not unmuted. He's still not unmuted. What I'm trying to do, But again, and going beyond that, again, what we're really looking at is the manipulation factor, what has caused people to blame other people in their relationship. Because why? If you don't have a better understanding, you're going to do wrong things. When you do wrong things, you get unfortunate results. So what is the old saying? When you know better, you do better. Why do I want to do better? Because I don't want a broken heart because of something I didn't know. I don't want a broken heart because of something I could not fix. I don't want a broken heart because I didn't understand what she needed or what he needed or what could have been done differently. A person don't randomly go around to any person, will you marry me? Will you marry me? Will you marry me? No. Can we go out sometime? Can we talk sometime? Can I get your number? And maybe we hang out, we kick it. Because words like hang out and kick it, that ain't talking about marriage. Words like hang out and kick it is more about, hang out and kick it is more about let's get in the bed. That's what hang out and kick it is. Let's end up in the bed. That's what dating is. Can I get some? Give me a piece of your piece. Let me have some of that. Give me some of that cookie. Give me some of that cookie.
I disagree.
Well, you might disagree, but I promise you that is the way it is. You might do, and you're allowed to disagree. One thing you've always told me, we can agree to disagree. So I will say that you have seen it one way, and I've seen it from the time we're living in. As a matter of fact, in today's time, it's called a booty call. You want to meet with somebody 10 o'clock at night. That's not somebody who's looking for marriage. That's somebody who's looking to get some.
We're not talking about people at 10 o'clock at night. We're talking about people that want to go out for lunch and get to know each other. That's called a date. It's synonymous with, a fortune. You have to have some form of contact to get in contact with that person. It's not, let me send you a letter and, I want to marry you, or a singing telegram and say, I want to spend the rest of my life with you, that's not practical.
It's unreasonable.
I met a pastor one time, and I'll never forget his words to me. He said, he told this young man in the congregation, he said, you're going to meet a woman, and you're going to ask her out on a date, and she's going to tell you no. Said, you're going to be in love with this woman, and you're going to want this woman so bad to be in your life, and you're going to ask her out on a date. And every time you ask her out on a date, she's going to say no. And he said, the reason she's going to say no is because she was taught that saints don't date. Listen to me now. I'm not discarding what you are saying, Sister G, but I'm trying to share something with you and those who are listening. He told the man, said she was taught that saints don't date. He said, so your approach to her has to be deliberate, that it is her and her alone that you're interested in. You can't look at Sally. You can't look at Susan. You can't look at Tammy, but you really want Tasha. What I'm saying is, dating is a random thing. I can date you today and don't have to see you no more. But someone that I'm deliberate about, I want to see them every chance I get, because what I want from them is not just a quick thrill. I want a lifetime of pleasure, a lifetime of good.
I understand that. But when you go out with them, it's still considered a date.
No.
And also,
okay.
That they want to spend a lifetime with you.
This is when this individual is deliberate. Because let me tell you something. Every person knows when somebody is for real and when somebody is fronting.
Mm-hmm.
Every person knows this individual is real and this individual is just playing around. You know who's really interested in you and who's really not.
People put on airs, like Chris Rock said, you meet the representative, you know, and then later on you meet somebody else. So people play well when they first meet you. Even men that claim that they want to marry you, they play very, very well, okay? And then sometimes they might not even think that they can come around and meet another beautiful woman and say, oh, well, I think I want her now. You know, so, I mean, let's just be real. Let's be real about this.
Yeah, there are colleges schools of art and acting. Actually, I know there are sometimes you see these TV shows and you think some of these shows are real. These are actors. And the men, especially I would just say men, are all too often that they see this pretty thing. He puts on this brand new top of the class drama act, saying that he his best foot forward, and everything about it is an act to get this lady's attention. It's an act. All too often. I'm not saying to everybody, but we all put on the act when we are a show, when we try to get this sweet thing. And it's an act. We do not know who this person is all too often the first time. We don't. We can't. Going back to something I said just a little early, you must take time to get to know the person. It's called communication. Getting to learn I'm being repetitive, but it's very, very rare, if ever, that you can see this person and you know that's one. Now, I know in many countries, they still do, they have what we call pre-arranged marriage. Oh, as a matter of fact, this one young lady was contacted. her parents still overseas, and she had met a fellow here in the States, and she was very much in love with her, so she said. And she and her family fell out because he rebuked the family tradition of that prearranged marriage, because she did not know the person that she was arranged to marry, but she knew very well the person that she was in contact with here. And she expressed that. She talked that to myself and a friend and her family, what she said, cut her off, so to speak, disengaged her, because she rebuked, she refused to marry the person that she had arranged to be married, because she said, "I don't know him. I don't know nothing about him, but I know a lot about Joe Blue here, and that's the one I want to marry." And that has happened. And once again, I still believe that dating and courting is synonymous, and is very, very essential, very necessary for a marriage.
My friend, the Bible tells us something that will aid us at this point. The Bible tells us that we shall know them by the fruit they bear.
Yes. You got to take that.
If we will know the fruit they bear, and we know what the motive is behind dating as opposed to the motive behind courting, then we'll understand that anybody who's looking for a date is just looking for a good time. Anybody who is courting, they're looking for something lifetime. That's what it boils down to at the end of the day. But listen, but hear me when I say this. Again, we appreciate every view. We appreciate every view that comes from you, ma'am, that comes from you, sir. We appreciate every view because why? If we don't have different views and different perspectives, we don't have conversation. Am I right?
It's all called communication. That is correct. Getting to know
if one. I didn't.
And you said by the fruit, it takes time to see what the fruit, what I'm looking at. It takes time to know the fruit, to think their actions, their behavior, all of this.
That's what the Bible says. You know them by the fruit.
But so many people get fooled. Even pastors, ministers, all these things. So many get fooled, though. You know, I mean, let's be real. There are good actors out here, like the gentleman just said.
So again, you know them by the fruit. So again, so this goes back when you're praying deliberately, then God has to do something with your discernment, because the Bible say that it's only if it's possible that the very elect gets deceived. So which means the only reason people get deceived is because they are not a part of the very elect. Listen, God's people who are authentic and real, God deals with them. God speaks to them. God shows them things. Come on. This is why a lot of people get messed up, because what? They didn't wait for God to talk. They didn't wait for God to show them. They didn't wait for God to open up their mind, their understanding, and whatnot. And so this is why so many people, I can speak some experience. I ain't talking about something I heard. I'm talking from experience. Man, I was in a place in my life where I wasn't listening to God. I wanted a wife because I wanted to get in between. I'm being truthful. Man, I wanted to make sure that I wore her out every possible way I could. It wasn't listening. It wasn't about the Lord telling me yay or nay. Because watch this. Because there were people in my life who would say, "This is not God." And I didn't want to hear what they had to say. All I wanted was what I wanted. I wouldn't think about, okay, well, this is going to be good for me in the future. No, I was thinking about this is going to be good for me right now. And that's what a lot of people do when they're dating. They're thinking about their right now. They're not thinking about their future. They're not thinking about their destiny. They're not thinking about their purpose. They're not thinking about their calling. They're thinking about what their flesh needs right now. That's why they have a thing called prostitutes.
Well, you were just saying, what was the other week, some pastor or whoever it was, they got was getting ready to get married. He found out the person was the same sex as he was.
Yeah.
So he wasn't praying to God, you know, and then he had to ask other people, what should he do?
And that was the fruit.
So here again, here's a man. He was a minister, right? He's a minister. He's trying to do things the right way. So so he was convinced, one, that it was God. That's the first thing. Two, he was convinced that it was a woman. It wasn't until after he got married that he, and it was time for their honeymoon, that he found out what he thought was a woman was actually a man. So he felt that he was stuck because he just made a vow, but he's yet going against what he believes. So he's in a place where he don't know. So while you're asking that question, right, here's an individual that maybe he missed God somehow, some way. Because, come on, let's be truthful. Many of us have missed God. Why do we miss God? Because there are things that we want more than what God wants, and so we will think that God said yes, and it wasn't God, it was just us, because what we wanted so bad. One thing I found out about God is God is not going to override your will. That's why he gave you one. Listen, God knows what you're going to do before you do it, but he gives you an opportunity to make up your mind, because what he really wants you to do is discern what is foreign to his spirit in your life.
If he
and
married,
that is a child who don't know
Apostle
Whitlow. Hello.
Hey, this is Brother Otis. Now, I was listening. I remember that situation that you described to us a week or so ago, with the pastor that got married. Maybe he should have done more dating and courting.
Absolutely.
And then he would have discovered more about the person that he had planned to marry, because that's what both of those activities are designed to do, is to learn more about the individual. And if he was with this person for a reasonable period of time, enough that he was persuaded and convinced to want to marry this person, he didn't do his homework. If he did not learn that this woman he thought he wanted to marry was a man. And then after that, he discovered that it was a man that he married. He had several options that he could have exercised if that was not his personal choice. First of all, he could have kept the marriage license and not returned it to the courthouse within that 7-day period. He could have just burned it.
Right.
And that way he would not have been married, because there would be no record at the courthouse that he's married. So that would have nullified all that little ceremony. And if a man decides to spend the rest of his life with another man, then that man has more situations than you think. He would be found on Dr. Alpha Kinsey's scale of heterosexual to homosexual. And this minister wasn't a pure heterosexual, which would be a number one on a 7-point scale. He would be over there somewhere close to a 5 or a 6 or a 7, which means homosexual, highly, very likely, and pure homosexual. So that would be his status. He was a male. However, with his desires, he was a homosexual male. and he liked, and he was going to accept living with a man for the rest of his life, and that wasn't for religious reasons. That was for personal reasons.
There's something that you said that he should have taken those papers and burned them. Some people, when they are mentally distraught, they don't think right. And for others just don't have common sense. But when you are deliberate about seeking God, you are deliberate about hearing from God, then God will give you clarity on what should be done as opposed to what shouldn't be done. There is so much in this. And again, please hear me when I say this to each and every one of you. I appreciate your difference of opinion. Please know that I do, because without it, we have no conversation to build upon. So thank you for sharing your thoughts. Thank you for sharing your views. I appreciate it very much, and I'm sure the listening audience appreciates it as well. So I say thank you, thank you, thank you. We are not out of talk. We're simply out of time. We want to tell you to join us again next Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for more from Making Marriage Meaningful. And please do know that your marriage will be meaningless until your mate becomes meaningful. All right? We thank God for you. We love you. We're praying for you that you'll have an amazing week. And prayerfully, we'll have the others who are a part of the panel to join in. And who knows where the Lord will take us. Thank you again, Brother and Sister Gabriel. Thank you, Reverend Gabriel. Thank you so much, Sister Jean Johnson. We appreciate you. Bishop-elect, I apologize that you were not able to join in because you weren't unmuted, but we thank you for listening in. So that way, you'll have something to talk about when we get here next week. Thank you again, Dr. Timmy Kim. We need you to do us a favor and hit that track. In the meantime, go with God, and he will go with you. Good night. Shalom. Peace.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
And good night on the side.
Good night.
Amen.